الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اتقى قاد اتقى أما بعد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. All students here will have completed the Muqaddama of Sahih Muslim, the introduction that Imam Muslim Rahmatullah has written to his kitab, and you will have read it thoroughly. I believe that Mufti Shabbir Sahib in Bawal Mumbai, and obviously Mufti Shabbir Sahib is my teacher as well, and to be able to compare his notes to mine is completely different. Obviously we'll have taught you in great depth and with great wisdom. However, for those who have also come to participate in the completion of Sahih al-Bukhari and also to listen to the other lectures, and also to the mothers and sisters sitting at home, and also others who are unable to attend but are listening on the internet throughout various parts of the world, it's important for us to understand and to remember that according to the ulama, after Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, the greatest rank in the six books of hadith is that of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh. Obviously we are unable to compare and define the ranks of every imam. However, within the six books that are taught, along with Muwatta Malik and Muwatta al-Imam Muhammad, the second in rank, according to the majority of ulama, is the book of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh, Sahih Muslim. And according to some ulama, Imam Muslim Sahih has priority and is of higher rank than the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh. However, there is one thing that defines Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh from all of the other imams of the books of hadith, and that is Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh has written a muqaddama, an introduction to his book, whereas none of the other imams, Imam Bukhari, Imam Tirmidhi, Imam Abu Dawood, Imam Ibn Majah, Imam Nasai, none of them have written an introduction to their book, whereas Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh has written an introduction. And this is one speciality of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh. This introduction is also a very complicated and a very complex introduction of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh, both in style and in content. Many teachers and also students of Sahih Muslim find it extremely hard to grasp the style of the text and the depth to which Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh refers to. It is very simple to read the text, very hard to understand it, and very hard to understand as to how deep Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh is going. And especially in the way in Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh presented his sentences and the length of them, he has written them in a way similar to Imam Tahawi rahmatullah alayh. Imam Tahawi also wrote his book, and the style of his text is exactly the same as that of Imam Muslim. It's not very simple to understand. And one very important point that I'd like to mention to students of hadith especially is what our Shaykh and our great teacher Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib mentioned once to me. In fact, he mentioned it whilst I was there. I was walking with him in Darul Uloom, I was passing by, when we were both walking across, and we passed by the classroom where the accounts office is now. And two of my classmates were actually having a debate about a certain text in Nurul Iraq. So I just said, calm down, what's going on? He stood by the door and he asked him. So he said that, look, I'm saying something else, he's saying something else. And, you know, we're referring to this text. I said, look, it's simple. He said one simple sentence, and that sentence has lived with me for as long as I have studied, and it's helped me immensely. He said, it only means whatever has been written. And if you think of that text, of that sentence of Hazrat, when the author writes a book, he writes it so that the person reading it will understand it as he has written it. So for us to go around looking here and there to understand the text does not make sense. It makes sense to read the text itself and try to understand every word of that text. And that is why to understand the Muqaddama of Sahih Muslim, it's important to adopt this attitude. Rather than referring to commentaries and trying to understand the entire commentary as a whole, and not only Sahih Muslim, but every book that we read, it's important that we understand each and every single word of the text and the style of it. And it only means what the author has written, nothing else. Now, Imam Muslim's Muqaddama is extremely complicated. What I would like to do first is, as your exams are nearby as well, and also for the public to understand that there are not only two words in the world of Hadith. Most people only understand two words, Sahih, Da'if. Anyone you speak to, Sahih, Da'if. That's the only two things they understand. What do they understand about what Sahih means and what Da'if means? It takes no less than a year, more yes, but no less than a year to understand the word Sahih and Da'if. That's how complicated the word is. And to sit every single day in lectures to understand the mustalahat of Hadith, the technical terms and definitions of Hadith, it takes no less than a year. And that also, after having studied many years before in understanding adab, sarf, nahwa, lugha, tafsir, and Hadith itself, and ilmi kalam, all sorts of things. So understand all of those things first, then in the final year, spend an entire year understanding the mustalahat of Hadith, and then you get to understand what Sahih and Da'if means, and that also if you've got a grasp over it, which many people out there do not do. In fact, Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi himself has referred to in his Muqaddama the complexity of understanding the word Sahih and Da'if. He even mentions in his Muqaddama, and if I get time, I will pinpoint out the text to you where he refers to it, that even the Muhaddithin of his time were unable to understand what Sahih meant. The Muhaddithin, not the common folk, not the ulama, the Muhaddithin, those who were scholars of Hadith, were also unable to determine what a Sahih Hadith was. And inshallah, hopefully, if I have time, I will pinpoint precisely where Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi also referred to that. Imam Muslim's Muqaddama, for those who haven't read the Muqaddama, is so complex and so complicated that each, sometimes one word requires pages and pages and pages of explanation to be able to understand that word. For someone to sit down and listen to Shakespeare and understand his text, it's a lot different. It can be done. But only one word that Imam Muslim may have written, and there's many words like that in his, which refer to the Istilah of Hadith, they require so in-depth knowledge that you have to go back and back and back and back. Because Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi, when he wrote it with a knowledge of all those things. It's like when you speak to a child and use a very complicated word, the child says, what does that mean? You say, look, when you grow up, you'll understand. Because it takes all those years to speak, to understand environments, to understand situations and texts and such, and all sorts of things before they even understand that one word. But we don't have time. I'd like to explain and encompass the entire Muqaddam of Sahih Muslim in this one lecture, and also try to explain what the word Sahih means. Very briefly. Okay, it's not even a drop in the ocean, what I will cover right now. In fact, if a pin is to be put into the water and taken out the water on there, it's not even that much that I'm covering of what is in the chapter of Hadith. We can spend an entire lifetime and yet not complete it. But let's carry on. Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi begins in his Muqaddama, and this is useful if you wish to prepare for your examinations to have an overall understanding of the whole Muqaddama of Imam Muslim. Okay? If I had time available, I would have pinpointed out word to word which, from starting from which word Imam Muslim refers to what. But I'm unable to do that right now because I feel I may not be able to complete it. But I will tell you the entire Muqaddama of Sahih Muslim, hopefully inshallah, time permitting. Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi begins his Muqaddama by explaining the reason for writing his Sahih. And all, as you all know, Ahmad bin Salama was his student, requested him to write his Sahih. Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi accepted his request and even explained why his request was a very good request for him to make. And Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi spent 15 years. Remember, he knew 300,000 ahadith off by heart. He knew the narrators, he knew when they were born, when they died, where they lived, where they travelled, how they travelled, who they met with, who they did not meet with, who they had ijazah from. He mentions everything. And in fact, so he knew every single thing in those 300,000 ahadith. 300,000. He knew the entire chain of narrators in every single one of those, and the entire history of every narrator. He spent 15 years extracting from those 300,000 approximately 12,000 ahadith, approximately. Okay? And he explains very briefly, he just refers to it. After that, Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi also mentions the approach he has adopted in writing his Sahih. What is his approach? How did he exactly write his Sahih? And the reasons for his approach. So in there he explains why he chooses to only have a small number of ahadith in his book. For us, it's a great number. 12,000. We read day and night. We are worn out at the end of the year. And Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi says this is just a small number of ahadith. He also mentions that the reason for writing this small number is that if a student of hadith, if a scholar of hadith wishes to derive masail, because his student Ahmad bin Salama asked him, but can you not, from your 300,000, only compile the Sahih ahadith, the Sahih and authentic ahadith, and also in a way wherein if I wish to find out about a certain mas'ala, I'm able to do so. I'm able to derive the mas'ala by comparing all the different ahadith. So for people like us today, and people in today's day and age, they pick up one hadith from the entire of Sahih Bukhari, or from the entire Sahih Muslim, or from in fact the entire books of hadith. He picks up one hadith and says, look, I've got a hadith to follow. Whereas Ahmad bin Salama, Imam Muslim Ramatullahi's student, tells Imam Muslim, and the students of Imam Muslim were just as great. They were scholars of hadith. He says, I'm unable to derive the masail unless you compile a book with all the Sahih hadith, and I'll be able to compare the hadith, because there are contradictions in the hadith. Some hadith refer to an earlier stage. Some hadith refer to a later stage. Some hadith refer to certain times. So I'm able to compare as to when, how, what every masla is applied. The students, the muhaddithin of the time, were unable to take one hadith and practice upon it, whereas today a lay person who does not even know how to read Arabic picks up a book of hadith in English and says, look, I've got a hadith to follow. The muhaddithin were unable to do that in that time. How can we have the courage to be able to do something like this? However, Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi then also mentions who the book is intended for, and obviously he refers to the scholars of hadith. He does not refer to the fact that this is for people who wish to look at a hadith and follow a masla. He says that this is for the scholars of hadith, for the people of hadith, to be able to compare the hadith. Imam Muslim rahmatullahi did not even put chapters in his book. He wrote certain types of hadith in one area, and later the ulama put the title, saying that this group of hadith refer to this masala. They do not explain what the masala is. It just refers to, say, for example, it refers to bayt, it refers to ijara, it refers to iman, it refers to sadaqah, whatever. Imam Muslim Abdullah then continues to explain the conditions that he has laid down himself. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi laid down the conditions that he will follow. And Imam Muslim rahmatullahi has laid down the conditions that he intends to follow. And he follows it by compiling and writing the hadith which class of narrators he has taken the hadith from. So you've got Tabqa-i Ula, the first class, Tabqa-i Thaniya, Tabqa-i Thalitha, Rabia, Khamisa. He's put down, there's about five different groups of muhaddithin, of the narrators of hadith. So the first group will be those who are the very best in the chapter of hadith. Then those who have a lesser ability, those who have a lesser ability, then those who are not acceptable. So he lays down the different groups of muhaddithin, and then he says as to who he will take the hadith from, and also why he will take the hadith from those people and when. For example, Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that he will take from Tabqa-i Ula, the very first class, and he will start off narrating the hadith from them. And if he is unable to find the hadith from the very first group of narrators, those who are the very top, he will then refer to the second group of narrators. And if he is unable to find any one from the first group of narrators, he will take hadith from the second group of narrators. And he will only refer to the third group to substantiate the first and second group. So in other words, if there is a hadith referring to a certain masjid, either in the first group or the second group, he may bring people, hadith from narrators of the third group, only to substantiate and to support the first and second one. However, he will not refer to the third group directly and immediately, whereas Imam Abu Dawud, Imam Tirmidhi, Imam Nasa'i have actually referred to those directly. Imam Muslim has only used them to substantiate and support the first and second group. And he has done that in a way wherein he will always relate to the hadith of the first or second group first, and then, if he needs to, of the third group. He has also mentioned in his Muqaddama as to if there is something extra in another hadith, he will refer to that additional part, that in this one hadith it mentions this, but in this hadith it mentions this and also this. At the same time, he will add on that small little bit from that hadith if possible, otherwise he will relate the entire hadith. He also refers to the technical term of sahih, da'if, munkar, muttaham, and within that he actually very cleverly pinpoints how exactly he has taken the hadith from the narrator, very cleverly. Unfortunately, we do not have the time to be able to refer to the text itself. But very professionally and very cleverly has explained the technical terms, at the same time explaining the groups in detail. Imam Hussein thereafter criticizes those people who call themselves a Muhaddith, yet fail to differentiate between Sahih and Da'if. He criticizes people. That there are people who call themselves a Muhaddith, yet those people fail to differentiate that this hadith is Sahih, this hadith is Da'if. And he provides evidences from the Quran and Hadith as to why it is incumbent upon every scholar to differentiate between the two. Imam Muslim rahmatullahi thereafter quotes a hadith wherein the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned people from quoting and narrating false hadith. مَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ مُزْعَمِّ مِنْ سَلِيَتَبَوَّ مَا قَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. He then carries on to mention that a person who quotes anything and everything that he hears cannot be a Muhaddith. This is extremely important for the people of today, that we hear one hadith and we quote it without realizing the true knowledge of that hadith, without knowing the true knowledge of that hadith. وَلَا يَقُولُ إِمَامًا أَبَدًا حَدَّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. He refers to it in that even such a person cannot even become an imam. One who quotes everything that he hears, and he goes, the reason for it is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also referred to things like that. Because there is a great chance of a person quoting false ahadith. Thereafter, Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi mentions ahadith in his muqaddama, saying that there will come a time where there will come liars and also shayateen who will come to the people and tell them false ahadith. He also refers to the care that the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, not only the Tabi'een but the Sahaba, took in taking ahadith from the people. فَلَمَّا رَكِبَ النَّاسَ الصَّعْبَ وَالْظَلُولَ. That when people started mounting upon every type of camel, in other words, he refers to the fact that when people started narrating every type of hadith, فَلَكُ الْحَدِيثُ عَنْ. We stopped taking the hadith from the people now, even the Sahaba. Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi also mentions their opinion in identifying the opinions of the Sahaba and the Tabi'in, their opinions in identifying the strong narrations and differentiating them between from the weak ones. Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi thereon carries on mentioning the importance and incumbents of identifying and revealing the weak narrator, so that if someone's a weak narrator, it's important for a person, it's incumbent to say that narrator is weak, don't listen to him, don't take a hadith from him. And he says that to mention their faults will not be classed as diva. It will not be classed as backbiting. In fact, it is wajib to speak about it, to say that person is a kazzab, that person is naif. Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi carries on to mention the Shia Aimmah and the Mubtadi'een, Ahlul Bid'ah. And he says that where and when can we take a hadith from them? Can we or can't? There are a number of narrators who are Shia in Sahih, but they were not like the type of today. They had certain views, but not strong views. And therefore, they hadith were taken from them, but he refers to the importance of aqidah also in collecting a hadith from people. Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi completes his muqaddama with a debate on hadith in Mu'an'an, and that is the debate between himself and Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi and other ulama. But he mentions this debate and in very strong words criticizes the opposite party. Imam Muslim was a student of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, and Imam Muslim was known to have great respect for his teacher, great respect for Imam Bukhari especially. He asked Imam Bukhari, "Allow me to kiss you." He called him Sayyidul Muhaddithin. He called him Talibul Ilm fi Hadith, fil Hadith. He referred to him with great respect. Yet, in his Muqaddama, he only refers to an opposite party, not Imam Bukhari. And he strongly criticizes the other party and also says that their evidences are weak. And Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi provides evidence extremely professionally and brilliantly as to why you can take hadith in Mu'an'an and how. But Imam Muslim was unaware, and the ulama say that Imam Muslim was unaware that the opposite party was Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, otherwise he would have not been so strong in his criticism against Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. I'd like to sort of complete, just briefly, just touching upon, because the time is up, on what is the Sahih Hadith and what is the Da'if Hadith, just briefly touching upon it. Not even a pin drop in the ocean. هو الحديث الذي يكون متصل الإسلام بنسل العبد الضابط عن مثله ولا يكون فيه شذوذ ولا علة. Definition of Sahih Hadith has been narrated by Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani in Fathul Mulhim. Very brief sitting upon this. A Sahih Hadith is something that is muttasil isnad, wherein the chain of narration, the chain is complete without any break in between. The Hadith is not mu'allaq, wherein there is a break in the beginning of the Hadith, in the beginning of the chain of narration. The hadith is not mursal, wherein there is a break after the tabi'i, between a tabi and the prophet, meaning he has not removed the sahabi. The hadith should not also have any two narrators, a break of any two narrators in between, continuously, otherwise it's called normal. And similarly, any other type of break would be classed as munqati, but unfortunately I have to complete that. It would have been useful to be able to mention exactly what a Sahih Hadith means. However, inshallah, maybe another time. وَأَخْرِ بَعْمَانَ مِنْهُمْ 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 مِنْهُمْ